This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict de Moore Parish in the Hill District and also St. Mary Magdalene Parish, serving the communities of the East End, Homewood, Point Breeze, and Wilkinsburg sections of the city of Pittsburgh. This morning, we visit the Pittsburgh neighborhood of West Oakland, almost my next door neighbor, and the Campus Laboratory School of Carlow University. The school was founded back in 1844 as St. Mary's Academy, the first Mercy Academy in the United States. When the Sisters of Mercy moved from downtown Pittsburgh to their present site in Oakland, they brought the academy with them. Mount Mercy College later became Carlow College and then eventually Carlow University, was established by the Sisters of Mercy in 1929 to educate young working class women. The campus school is unique in the Pittsburgh region because it is a laboratory for learning for students, future teachers, and current teachers. The Sisters of Mercy embraced five critical areas of concern as well as service. The school has strong relationships with another university and is building connections with the community and provides a supportive and challenging learning environment. My guest this morning is Jessica Webster, the head of school at the Campus Laboratory School of Carlow University. Jessica, welcome this morning to Catholic Education Plus.
Thank you for so much for having me.
And thanks for being with us here on this Sunday morning. Now, Jessica, the name of your school is interesting because you are an educational laboratory, and clearly it's not the students who are learning. Can you tell us about the unique name?
Absolutely. So laboratory schools have a storied history that dates back all the way to the 17th century. They're typically situated on college and university campuses as a way to train our pre-service teachers and provide opportunities for research and innovation. So Campus Laboratory School welcomes practicum and student teachers from Carlow University. And we also provide professional development opportunities to currently practicing teachers in the profession. We participate in the Sister Mary Paul Education Symposium and Speaker Series, provide dyslexia and learning series, which are free to teachers throughout the region as well as parents. And our teachers often have opportunities to provide instruction as adjunct instructors at the university for our teachers in our Department of Education. And we at Carlow have expanded that model to include nursing, counseling, and speech and language practitioners. And these are all individuals at Carlow who require experiences in both pediatric and early adolescent rotations for their given professions. And they provide supports and lessons to our students and our teachers as well. So it's a very dynamic relationship that we have.
That is really interesting. So you're training the pre-service teachers who haven't yet graduated, but also those gaining more certification. So I can see how the laboratory name is it. How do your students benefit from this wonderful training?
What's really unique about our environment is that our students and teachers benefit by being up on the latest in evidence-based practices in education. And it also allows us to wrap around services and supports that aren't always easily found in smaller independent schools, such as counseling. We have full-time nursing support here all the time. And then our students also, especially in the middle school, have opportunities to join in Carlow University programs, and we share university facilities. So students during their science fair projects are using our science laboratories that the university students use. We get invited to participate in some of the guest speaker series that go on, and we participate with our art gallery on campus. And additionally, the teachers in our facility are able to take master's level coursework for a small fraction of the cost. And then they bring that learning back into their classrooms as well.
That's great. Now, Jessica, your STEAM curriculum, which stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math, I like that, STEAM, is connected to the five Mercy critical concerns. Tell us about the link.
Absolutely. So the overarching philosophy of STEAM is really to demonstrate the interrelated nature of learning and provide students with the ability to solve problems through authentic creation and through the infusion of technology. And this really dovetails nicely with the Mercy critical concerns, which are racism, women's issues, immigration, nonviolence, and the environment. And a great example of this would be that during our study of Africa, our fifth grade students read a novel called A Long Walk to Water, and they simulated how it would feel to carry water for miles in order to gather fresh water, as many students in different regions of Africa do before they go to school every day. And this project then includes areas in mathematics like measurement. They talk about water as a source of as part of their science units, agriculture, it goes into history and culture, and also then dovetails nicely with our critical concerns of the environment. So this is a good example because we believe strongly that students learn best when they can see the interconnection of content and that they have an opportunity to wrestle with real world authentic concerns, especially when that leads to collaboration, creation, and the opportunity to lead and advocate for others.
I like that, how the Mercy theme, critical concerns, kind of interlink with the STEAM. It's appropriate. Now, you're on the campus of Carlow University, and Carlow is very near and dear to the Burke family, my family. My sister Linda graduated in the nursing school program, and my nephew Donovan is currently in the nursing program at Carlow University. And then when I was at the St. Paul Cathedral as parochial vicar, I did a lot of masses for the students there. So it's a great connection. You're on the campus of Carlow, but you also have a strong relationship with Duquesne, which I'm also an alumnus of. How is that connection with Duquesne too?
Sure. So as a fellow Catholic school, we believe we have a shared heritage as Catholic universities in the city. And so we provide placements for Duquesne pre-service teachers through their practicum and student teaching experiences. And I have to say, historically, we've been really impressed with the preparation of those students that come and participate with us in our programs.
And they're literally like 2 or 3 miles down the road too. So
that's right. That's right.
Not only the Catholic connection, but the geographic connection too. So, and they're two great Catholic universities.
Absolutely.
Now, the Campus Laboratory School of Carlow University includes early childhood options based on the Montessori and Reggio inspired programs. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yes. So interestingly enough, both Montessori and Reggio Emilia have their origins in Italy. Our Montessori program has been part of Campus Laboratory School since 1973. Wow. And the goal of Montessori programming is really to nurture each child's natural desire for knowledge, understanding, and respect. And so in a Montessori program, students have a lot of agency to determine the work that they will complete through hands-on exploration and activities. And while teachers facilitate that, the interesting thing is that it is considered work. And so students have a real sense of importance of what they're doing. In a Reggio Emilia-inspired preschool, this is a newer addition to our program. It has to be called Reggio Emilia Inspired, interestingly enough, because the only Reggio programs are in Italy. But in these classrooms, the curriculum stems from particular interests of children. And so curriculum topics are chosen from talking with children and their families and what teachers observe in the classroom they know kids are interested in. So a unit could be about puddles or dinosaurs, and teachers work together to plan sessions to decide what projects are best suited for their classrooms. And then they really try to take the time to give, to make them as in-depth as possible. And they bring in outside community as well to make those links for children. So they have very similar themes, but they're a little bit different in application.
Yeah, because I've always heard about the Montessori program, but I never was, I'm not real, this is the first time I've heard about the Reggio inspired program, but I could see how they both can be very beneficial to that. So that's really
Absolutely.
You know. Now, one final question before we take a break. You also are known for your Dyslexia and Learning Center. Can you tell our listeners about that briefly?
Our Dyslexia and Learning Center is the true hallmark of our programming here at Campus Laboratory School. Carlo University itself is well regarded for the work that they do in evidence-based practices related to the science of reading. And our Dyslexia and Learning Center is something that we have been growing over the past 3 years. It really starts in our general education classrooms where we ensure that students have a strong foundational curriculum in early literacy. So we're talking really about phonemic awareness and phonics in order to increase fluency for our students as they get up through the older grades and help them thrive as readers. And then students who need additional supports are provided these during the school day. We just recently expanded our program to include summer camp instruction and after-school programming, and both of those are open and available to students throughout the region looking for structured literacy support. But we do believe that this program is foundational to our philosophy of inclusion and welcoming all learners into our community.
Well, that sounds like Carlo is very, very welcoming to its students, and to be able to offer that learning center for dyslexia, that's just a wonderful extra added incentive, especially for the families that are seeking a good education, and to have that love and that support. There's that laboratory word that stands out, you know, when I think of that too, to have all that, the STEAM, the Montessori, the Reggio, your connections and with the dyslexia in the Learning Center, very appropriate. So, well, we have lots more to talk about. We'll take a break. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict the Moor Parish in the Hill District and St. Mary Magdalene Parish in the East End. This Sunday morning, we are featuring the Carlo Laboratory School on the campus of Carlo University in Oakland. And my guest this morning is Jessica Webster, who is the head of school at the Campus Laboratory School. Now, Jessica, we were talking in the first half about the wonderful different missions and with the STREAM and the Montessori program, and lots of great different things. And obviously the Sisters of Mercy, who own and operate Carlo University, they're renowned for their commitment to service. You start them young at the campus school and you plant the seeds, and there's that laboratory, you watch it grow. Can you give us examples of the service and curriculum projects that the Carlo Campus Laboratory School offers?
Absolutely. We actually do begin very early. One of the things that we do is we pair our students with partners, buddies in different grade levels, so that our youngest students are interacting with our oldest students, and our oldest students have opportunities to model and demonstrate service towards others with their buddies. So that's one important thing of how we do that to build culture here. But this actually really begins with our families, who model generosity and hospitality, both in their home communities and part of ours. Our PTA has a parent service coordinator who helps support service so that our families can engage in service outside of the school day and week. And that becomes a huge social experience for our families. Each year, classes sponsor service projects, and sometimes these just include collecting donations for an area in the local community or in the international community that they see a need for. We try to tie those back into the curriculum, so students who are learning about weather patterns in sixth grade may then engage in a bake sale to raise money for hurricane victims in an area that's been impacted recently by a hurricane. And we also engage with the university itself and the Sisters of Mercy through their collections, donations, and during non-COVID times, our students will spend time at the convent with some of the sisters. We tend to do things around Halloween with them. We make cards and do some social events with them as well. And then each year we celebrate Mercy Day, which is actually coming up officially on Wednesday. The whole campus participates. Oh. And so this year, we're going back to some traditional things that we had done during Mercy Week pre-COVID. And one of the things we're doing is hosting a walkathon, and that money will be used to raise money for the Mercy Without Borders program that supports female education in other countries.
Wow. So that Mercy Day is coming up this coming Wednesday. That's great.
Absolutely.
Now, the campus at Carleton University, even though it is in the hustle and bustle of the Oakland section of the city of Pittsburgh, it stands up on the hill. And it's a beautiful, beautiful campus. Now, your outdoor classroom is a student favorite, and especially this past week, we've had such beautiful weather outside. What do you do outside with your students in creating an outdoor classroom? I like that idea.
We do everything outside. So during the pandemic, we've been so blessed to be on this little oasis in the middle of the city. We always say it's a hidden gem up here on the hill. People don't even know we're here. But our building is situated in the middle of campus. So right outside our building is the campus green. And our students eat lunch outside, spread out on yoga mats every day or around the tables that are on the porches that surround us. We started that during the pandemic to make sure that we were as safe as possible. And it's actually become a really special time where kids just get to relax and be with their friends outside. And then we have recess daily outdoors. We also use the entire campus as our classroom. So students will go outside with their teacher to participate in journaling, study activities, group work. They may have specific lessons that they're doing that involve nature or using nature as inspiration for art or music, those sorts of things. Last week, for instance, our students analyzed various monuments that are around our campus as part of a larger 9/11 memorial project. And, you know, with a koi pond and an outdoor garden classroom, this campus provides a unique opportunity for learning and a beautiful environment. So we absolutely recognize how lucky we are to be here.
So I know a lot of schools utilize the outdoors because of COVID, but the campus laboratory school kind of like was ahead of its time to utilize the class outside as a classroom. And the beautiful campus, as you said, it's a hidden gem there in Oakland, and to see overlook the city of Pittsburgh. And the weather that we've been having these last several weeks just has been phenomenal. So I'm just surely the students and the teachers, you know, take every opportunity they can to get some fresh air, practice your social distancing, but also the beauty and wonder of God's creation out there.
Absolutely. So, we know we're blessed.
Now, you're also working hard to build connections with the West Oakland neighborhood. What are some of your successes and plans?
So I don't know if everyone's familiar with the history of the West Oakland neighborhood, but years ago, St. Agnes Catholic School was a neighborhood school for West Oakland in our area. And since that school has closed, there really isn't a local Catholic school nearby. So we have been doing in a lot of discussions, and we've been really proud to welcome students from the local neighborhood into our school. We're hoping to expand our model to provide not just opportunities for school year and day learning, but welcoming students from the neighborhood into our after school and our summer programming. We did that this summer and it was very successful. We've also donated gently used books, and in partnership with Steel City Helping Hands, last year we organized summer bags full of games and snacks for the community that they distributed during one of their food distributions. And over the summer, some of our students helped build and install a little free library for the community, which we were very excited to debut over the summer. It was wonderful. I think ultimately our goal is to learn from and with our neighborhood, with our neighbors, because we believe that they have a lot to offer our students and our community as well. And then as part of our strategic plan, we're going to be launching a capital campaign to renovate that St. Agnes School. And that will include a playground to share with the community and a state-of-the-art early learning and preschool center that will also house the university apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship programs, which provide a pipeline for individuals to become certified in early learning as early learning teachers. So we're very excited about that. That will be coming hopefully soon. We'll be able to start launching that campaign. Mm-hmm.
Utilize that building next door. Yeah. And it, so you're expanding the campus.
Absolutely.
Wow. Now, for parents who might be interested in learning more about the Campus Laboratory School of Carleigh University, can you tell us how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, we're always eager to share our story and our mission with others. So anyone who is interested in learning more about our community can always visit our website, and that is www.campusschool.carleigh.edu, and you can learn more about our programming. You can set up a tour right online, and there's also opportunities to provide financial support for some of the initiatives we talked about today that include scholarship opportunities for students in our West Oakland neighborhood to join our summer after school and school day programs. And you're always welcome to give us a call at 412-578-6158.
And they can set up a tour, walk around, see the campus, see the kids outside.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And really, that's the best way to see it is live in person and really get
Absolutely.
To know the program. Yeah. Jessica Webster, the head of school for the Campus Laboratory School of Carleigh University, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be back in a moment here on KDK Radio. This week in our Plus segment, we are continuing through Ordinary Time. This is the 26th Sunday of Ordinary Time. We'll continue reading in the Gospel of Mark. This Gospel passage this weekend concentrates on the demands for entering the kingdom of God. Jesus manifests great tolerance for those casting out demons in the name and condemns those who create scandal for the little ones, not necessarily children, but those whose faith is still tender or the disciples who are just beginning the journey. We just celebrated the first day of fall this past week. The autumn season is upon us. The leaves are changing, colors are changing, temperatures are getting cooler. And this season invites us to let go what hinders us, the hands, the feet, and the eyes of the instruments of sin. And Jesus's graphic illustration reminds the disciples that they must be ready to let go of everything, including their pride, in order to enter the kingdom of God. Nobody should be preventing from invoking the power to drive out demons, but God bestows his gifts freely on all of us. So have a great week. We'll be back in a couple weeks here on KDK Radio. Thanks for joining us.